Welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. I'm Kalina.
And I'm Saylet.
And this is a podcast where we read paranormal romance novels and then discuss them.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for coming back.
Well, anything fun happened lately?
Nope.
No?
Except that today was fucking balls ass hot.
In our timeline of the world, not the timeline in which you listen to this.
Not at all.
It is early May, and it is 90 plus degrees in Denver, which is a record. A 20-some, 30-some year record.
It's ridiculous.
It's unpleasant. Not gonna lie, not happy about it. Real worried for what our summer's gonna be. Mm-hmm. Not interested in that.
Yeah.
Might have to spend the whole summer away in the mountains.
Totally.
Or I just gotta move the fuck out of town.
Go camping a lot up the hill. Because it doesn't, I mean, it stays cold.
It's cold there.
And it's
there's snow so in the mountains at all times.
Yeah.
At the very highest elevations up around tree line. But yeah, so it's hot here.
Yeah.
It's miserable.
It's funny when I realized after we put in all of our episodes, upload all of our episodes, and I've listened to them because I haven't heard them in months, and so I listened to them. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what we've talked about. And our last one that we just put up, which is totally irrelevant to the time also, but we were talking about our fantasy football team.
I know.
And so people listening to it in May are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
These girls are dumb.
So stupid. So we gotta get either better at that or just fuck it.
We either have to not talk about any topical reference.
Right. At least with in reference to the timing of...
Or we just have to go, this is our thing, guys. Our thing is weird podcast time travel.
Totally.
And you're gonna join us on this journey.
Yes.
Where 6 months later, you get to hear our thoughts on May weather. I don't know. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Tell us.
Where were you May 10th, 2018?
Email us and tell us 6 months from now whether you appreciate this. That's all we can say about it. I think that, because I know some podcasts, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there are some that try really hard and will not reference anything current so that they can be listened to or posted at any time, and really it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I just feel like maybe we're not good like that. It's just, we have to have something to chat about.
Sure.
And it's most likely going to be topical. And even as we read these books, it's really easy to bring in current threads of things going on right now. Current events, topics that are popping off on Twitter. I should not have said that phrase. I'm sorry. I immediately regretted it. Trending, I guess, maybe things that are trending on Twitter or Facebook and in social media. And it's really, it's fun to bring those up, but it's either that or we have to just not be ahead. We have to, record and post.
Or predict the future.
More timely. And I just am scared of that because we have to read books in order to do our podcast. So if we ever were, behind, I just think...
You know, that's just going to have to be our thing.
You know, it's our thing.
It's just people are just going to be like, when you listen to them, they're going to talk about something that happened 5 months ago.
Bullshit.
Ignore it. It's just, it's past news. We literally do podcast time traveling here, so...
Yeah, so, we've decided. We had this discussion and we've now settled. We're not going to change the way we do anything.
Yeah. So.
At all. So just get over it. Or stop listening.
I mean, obviously, you're coming back and listening to us, so thank you.
Yay! Welcome.
So what did we read today, yesterday, last week?
We read Unholy Ghosts, which is the first in the series, the Ghosts of the Downside series by Stacia Kane, narrated by Bonnie Turpin. And for my short little synopsis, we have come up with a new title for it.
Yeah.
I think it came up maybe two episodes ago. We forgot it last episode, but we remembered it. We're going to call these segments Clit Notes. Cliff Notes only. More sexy for our romance novels.
Just what's appropriate. That's all.
So, today's Clit Notes on Unholy Ghosts. In the world, about, 25 years ago? I think it's the anniversary. Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary. Ghosts came back, and they were mean, and they were vicious, and they killed people. And it terrified the world, and it was really destructive. They call it Ghost Week. And one group came to power that had the knowledge to control the ghosts. And they are now known as the Church. They use magic, like witch magic spells, you know, casting, candles, grave dusts, you know, herbs, all of that. The real, true, like, your typical, like, witch idea. They use magic to control the ghosts. Ghosts come from this city underground, and occasionally they break out and they scare people. And the Church has come to power. It's not based on religion. They've basically undermined all the old religions. They've locked away their old texts, the Bible, the Quran, the Talmud, all of it is locked up and locked away because that is false. They now know the truth about what happens to the soul when it dies, or when the body dies. The soul goes on and it goes down to this city underground, and occasionally they, like, riot. So now this, 25 years later, the Church controls everything. Our main character, who for most of the book goes by Chess, but her full name is Chesaria. She is a debunker for the Church, which means her job is to go to homes where people think they're being haunted, where they think there's a ghost, and hopefully prove it false. Because if it's a false haunting, then the people who are making the false claim are in trouble and most likely locked up by the Church. Mm-hmm. So don't do that. Don't falsify ghosts. But if it's a real haunting, because the Church has made a promise to protect people and keep them safe. So if it's a real haunting, then the Church will pay you damages, like, for being haunted. So if she finds a real ghost, then she has to expel them back to the city using, again, my favorite word, psychopomp. I'm so happy.
I remember when you said that last time. It's like, they say it 17,000 times in this book.
I know. Every time they said it, I was like, psychopomp.
So excited.
Such a good word. And to get to use it so much. So Chess, this is what Chess does. The main plot of this book is very confusing and I can't explain it. All you need to know is that there are some bad people who are trying to do something nefarious with the ghosts, and they end up bringing a nightmare ghost, nightmare thief.
Dream thief.
Mm-hmm. He has a lot of names. To the city. They set him loose. They're trying to control him, but they can't. And he is actively, like, devouring people's souls. Like, he can put people into a dream state and feed on their life essence while they die. And so he's real bad. And it's tied in with a lot of shit. It's real complicated. And a lot of different groups are moving around. And Chess is in the middle of all of it and figures it out and saves the day. That's, like, the big broad strokes of it.
Yeah.
The more detail of the story is her life's fucked up. She is a goddamn mess.
She's a mess.
She is a drug addict. She's dealing with, I mean, her life sounds horrible from her childhood on, and she's not dealt with it, so she's just medicating it. She doesn't really like being alive, but she doesn't want to go live in the, she doesn't want to die because she knows where her soul goes. And it doesn't, it's somewhere she doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to be underground in the city of the souls, or whatever they call it. I keep forgetting.
Downside?
No, Downside is the city that they live in.
Oh, okay.
Downside's not the nice part of... So I picture Downside as the bad side of town.
An upside.
And then, like, and then the Church is, like, over in, like, nice land where the Church is. And she lives with all the drug and gangs and homeless and like, it's Downside. It's not a very nice area. It seems like when the uprising of the ghosts happened, society broke. Because to go from living in a world where you understand the rules and you don't know what happens after you die, but you at least understand what goes on in life, to all of a sudden being confronted by vicious, bloodthirsty,
supernatural,
mean ghosts who kill people just really tears up society. So there's people, like, the Church has all the power, has all the money. In a very ironic twist, they utilize the terms and, like, forms of old ancient Puritanism. So all the women of the Church are called goody. And all the men of the Church are called elder. And I'm just sitting, and it sounds like at one point they're dressed in, like, long black robes hats,
bonnets.
And bonnets and shit, and buckles. There was buckles on somebody. And I was just like, why is this Church, who completely claims not to be a religion, because they know the truth, so this is not religion, this is truth. Why are they basing it on the puritanical ideas that used to burn witches, but right. They are witches.
They are totally witches.
I don't know. It's so weird. It's, and it's interesting. Ironic. Yeah, it's irony. It really is. Because she is an active witch walking into a church and talking to Goody Esmeralda and mm-hmm. you know, Elder Brian and... Mm-hmm. I made those names up. I don't remember any of the names.
I don't remember any of those either.
So anyway, in her mess of a life, she's indebted to a drug dealer named Bump, who is trying to bring drugs into an old rundown airport, but he thinks it's haunted. And so that's how this all kicks off, because now he's told her, like, you owe me $15,000, and she's like, I don't, but he says she does. And you really can't argue with your drug dealer. I think that's, like, kind of a thing where you didn't pay... You're a drug addict. You didn't pay close enough attention to how much you owed him. Dude. So if he says you owe him $15,000, you don't have a, like, appeals court that you can go to and be like, per contract, I only owe you $4,000.
Yeah, she does not fit the mold of any of the past women we've had in any of our books at all. And we don't even know what she fucking looks like.
No.
There's no characteristics
The only
described.
Thing we do know is that she has red roots. She's dyeing her hair black.
Yeah, and she's got tattoos.
And tattoos. Tattoos are very important because the witches of the church get to tattoo the runes, the magical symbols and runes on them to help them in their jobs.
Yeah.
But they're the only ones that get to do that.
Yeah, and they have a sword that it helps protect them on the street and it protects them while they're fighting and mm-hmm. looking for the ghosts and stuff. But that's about it. We don't know what she looks like, so... We just know she's a fucking mess. She's a drug addict.
She's a mess.
And she's, I mean, she's very brave and she's good at her job and she knows how to.
I don't know that she's good at her job. She's a good, she's a very good witch. I don't think she, I mean, she's lying to her job all the time and breaking their rules.
And she's always leaving her purse. Like, she's always running away.
She is. She's like a badass. And we do like, I really, this is a tough book. Because I am very torn on this. I really like a lot in this book, and I was frustrated a lot. But I think that I was frustrated for good reasons. It meant that the book, I think that the author, Stacia, was accomplishing what she wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Because Chess is not one-dimensional, and she isn't like anyone else. She's had a terrible life. Most of our women have had terrible lives. You know, she was in foster care her whole life. It sounded like very abusive. Like every foster care system home she went into, they either hit her or they raped her.
Yeah.
And it was just a mess. And she finally went into the church system at like 15 to start training. Mm-hmm. And that was her saving grace. And that's who her family is now. But even though she knows that and she thinks of the church as her family, she's constantly breaking their rules. Like she moved out, she lives on her own and does drugs and they wouldn't accept any of that. Mm-hmm. And she does it anyway. So I don't know if she's good at her job. Well, but she is a badass.
She's totally... Okay, then that's what I mean then. She's a badass.
Yeah.
She runs away from at least two or three of the jobs that she's... situations that she's put in. She's always leaving her purse. And someone's always going back in there and getting her purse for her.
Which that is a little bit of an issue.
Carry a fanny pack. I know it's not stylish, but whatever. You live in downside. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I feel like maybe like a coat with like pockets.
Sure.
Put all your magic gear in your pockets. Because it always was also hard for her to get things.
Yeah.
Because of her purse.
She was a mess.
She acknowledges, like, her constant in her monologue is how she's making mistakes.
Yeah.
She's making bad decisions. She's too addled on drugs. She's not doing things right. Mm-hmm. Which, it's important because she's acknowledging all of these flaws, but she's not changing them. She's not fixing anything.
Yeah.
She's just like, yeah, I have a drug problem.
And she's not an unlikable character.
No, she's very likable.
I like her a lot.
She is, but... like, at one point, one of the other characters calls her selfish, though, and she really is. That mm-hmm. like that really does describe her, because the way she calls upon these men in her life, and she does use them.
Yeah.
So there's three main ones to the story. There is Terrible, who works for Bump, her drug dealer, mm-hmm. and he's supposed to help her investigate the ghosts at the airport, because mm-hmm. she's supposed to try to get rid of the ghosts for her drug dealer, and then he'll wipe her debt. Then there is another drug dealer named Lex. Slowhand.
Oh, Slowhand. Wait, what?
Slow something? Slow Bag? Slow Bag. It's not Slowhand. Slow Bag. And Lex works for him and kidnaps her at one point because he wants her not to get rid of the ghosts at the airport.
Right.
Because, obviously, if one drug dealer starts bringing in mass drugs and airplanes, he's going to win over the other drug dealer who isn't bringing in airplanes full of drugs. So he wants the airport to stay haunted.
Right, right.
So there's Lex, there's...
Terrible.
Terrible. And then there's Doyle. Boyle?
Doyle.
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 Who is a debunker like her, who works for the church, and she slept with him a while back, had a one-night stand with him, and then it got all over the church, and she's mad at him, so she won't talk to him, and he just fucking keeps coming around.
He's very insistent.
And it's really irritating.
Yes.
Because he's just like, talk to me, Jess, talk to me. And you're like, no, leave her alone. But anyway, he's a dick. But she frequently just, like, calls them at random to fix things. But not really fix things. Because she really does handle most of her... Mostly she needs rides.
She either needs a ride or somebody to go back and grab her purse. Literally, that's what she needs.
She's like, I need a ride. Come to this bar and pick me up and take me to someone else's house.
Right, pretty much. She called Lex twice to go get her purse. Well, that's not... She called him once to get her purse.
She did, and that made no sense. That one was out of left field for me. I was just like, "This, I don't get why you called Lex."
It's just, yeah, I don't know what she called Lex either.
Because she had just been kidnapped by him, and then he let her go on the condition that she was going to think about not getting rid of ghosts.
Right.
And then she decided to call him to save her purse from the house that she ran out of because there was a scary ghost in it. But it turns out that wasn't a ghost. That was the evil demon sucking, or not demon, but the dream sucking nightmare.
Dream thief.
You guys.
Okay, so here's how I pictured the dream thief.
This book is real hard.
It's a hard book. The dream thief, this is how I pictured him when she described him. He is the black spy in Spy versus Spy. That's who he fucking is. So, we'll just call him that. God, that was the first thing that popped in.
Fucking spot on.
Right on. Right on. He's the black spy in Spy versus Spy. So.
Oh, that makes him a lot less scary, though.
Totally. Because there were points in this book where I thought it was going to get really scary, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I could, you know. Because I like the supernatural paranormal ghost stuff. It freaks the shit out of me. So I was wanting it to get like that, so I had to make him less scary.
I didn't like it. It got some parts were like, I'm scary. Yeah. There were ghosts chasing people and shit.
Yeah.
He killed the guy whose name I don't remember, who basically started this whole shit.
Yeah. There are some funky names in this book for sure. A lot of nicknames or tag names or whatever they're called.
A lot of, because most of the people we encounter are either living on the street or, you know, in gangs or doing drugs or dealing drugs or they run underground shops where they sell magic. You know, they're just sideways of legal. Mm-hmm. So none of them use real names. So everyone's like Brain and Bump and Lex and Slowbag and Terrible. And no one has real names.
Yeah.
One choice that Stacia does make, and we kind of mentioned it with Chess, is she doesn't describe her characters.
Right.
She gives them very, very vague descriptions. You kind of just know if they're, like, muscly or not, really, or real small and thin. But you don't know anything else about them. She really leaves them up to the reader to kind of fill in.
Yeah.
The only one whose ethnicity we even know is Lex, because he's part of an Asian gang.
Mm-hmm.
So he's Asian?
He's, like, the only one.
The only one.
Yeah.
And part of that is that they also have a very strong street vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
The characters speak in, not Chess or anyone from the church.
Right.
Because it feels like the church is very old school and, like, proper, like, liturgical English.
That's a big word.
Thank you.
I don't know what it means. Help me out.
Well, the liturgy is what, like, the priests read at Mass and stuff. And I know that the church isn't, like, the church. It's
not
Catholic.
But
it is.
They
do. They, like, they go to services on Saturdays and they read.
It's everything. They do
everything
about
a church.
They don't believe in God.
Yeah.
That's it. They just do it. Yeah.
So I feel like liturgical, it fits in. It fits in with them.
Okay.
But then, like, Terrible, Lex, all of them have a different vernacular that they use. Mm-hmm. It's not book English.
Right.
And it was a little challenging to listen to.
It was. I think Bonnie did a good job with, I guess, the fluctuations in her voice to tell the characters, but speaking in the way that it was written was hard to understand.
It was hard to understand.
Follow.
I don't know if it was just slang that I didn't get, or just the whole way some of the characters spoke that I swear I missed whole conversations.
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Like, there was one character in particular, they had to go meet him at one of the pipe houses where he was smoking drugs out of a pipe. And as the conversation progressed, he got higher and higher and spoke, like, worse and worse.
It was.
And so I was just like, I don't know what he's told them to do.
Yeah.
They understood enough, I guess, to go to wherever they ended up going. But yeah. I was just like, well, I don't get this. So I think there's a line of between using language like this in order to kind of, you know, get across the dichotomy within the society,
mm-hmm.
the haves and the have-nots,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
The people of the church and the no-nots.
Yep.
I understand what she was getting at, but I think maybe some of it was taken so far that it made it hard to follow, at least in the audiobook.
Right.
I also went ahead and downloaded the ebook so I could just see it, and it is challenging to read, too. But at least when you're reading it to yourself, you can self-correct.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I know what the sentence should have said. So I'm just going to read it the way it should say. So, you know, it's unique to something that we've read so far. We mm-hmm. haven't had anything like this. We've had accents and stuff, but this is not an accent so much as just a different vernacular for the people of Downside. So. Well, she's a drug addict.
She
Oh, boy.
That was difficult and hard to follow. I don't, in my personal life, know anybody that's into hard drugs. So it was hard for me to follow her thought process and the decisions that she made and, you know, I guess understand it or agree with it or...
I couldn't.
Yeah.
There were definitely parts in this book where she's like in the middle of something really scary. She's like trying to defeat a ghost and she's just jonesing for her pills. And I'm mm-hmm. like, now is not the time. And I'm like very, you know, I'm coming from a very different place. I've never done any hard drugs mm-hmm. and I don't have a history of it. I have in my family addicts,
mm-hmm.
but I don't understand them any more than I can understand her. Like, I can't put myself in that headspace where it's that important to you that even when facing like a life or death situation, it's on your mind. Because I feel like if I was in a life or death situation, that would be the only thing on my mind would be that life or death situation.
Yeah, exactly.
But instead, she's like thinking about like what time it is. When did I, you know, have a pill?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for me to have another pill. I need another hit. I need another fix. And it's like, oh,
so
that was challenging because
mm-hmm.
it does make it like it adds that remove. I can't relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't hide it.
Right.
She acknowledges it and she knows that that's a problem
mm-hmm.
for her and that she does use it as an escape. She, you know, doesn't have a great life and so she's not like all in it. So this is what she needs to do to get through it. But hopefully by the end of this book, you know, like as we move into the new books, maybe things will start changing for her.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's the
story arc. I would hope so. I mean, it's hard to talk on the on that side of it because I have never experienced anything like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, as a person who has never done hard, I've smoked weed, that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's before it was legal in Colorado. But, like, that
rebel!
I know, right? Like, that's the extent of it, you know? Like,
uh-huh.
when I, and we can even go as far as, like, opioids and things like that, I was sent home with Percocet after I had my, you know, I had a major surgery when I had the boys, but even then I didn't take it. Like, I didn't take that at all. I took ibuprofen the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand that dependency on it. I would think in an emergency situation when I'm trying to defend myself or fight to protect myself so that I could stay alive or run mm-hmm. away from ghosts or something, I don't want to be inebriated. I want to be of sound mm-hmm. mind and be able to think straight. But on the flip side of it, I think a lot of people who do have that addiction or depend on those type of drugs or any type of drugs can say, you know what, I do focus better when I'm on this or when I'm on mm-hmm. that, or, you know, when I'm not on any of it, then I'm just like all over the place mm-hmm. and I don't think straight. So I need this to think straight. So it's kind of hard to talk about that when we don't know the flip side of it.
And for Chess, it definitely seemed like her withdrawal symptoms hindered her mm-hmm. ability to do things.
Right.
Like if she started going through them, she definitely wasn't thinking as straight. She was focusing more on, like, she had itches and
her
stomach was turning. All kinds of things that sounded terrible. So she gets through it, and not only gets through it, but she fucking kicks ass throughout this story. She is saving, like, it sounds to me like Darable is, you know, plus 6 feet
Okay, let me tell you who I think of when I think of terrible.
Who's terrible?
I always have different characters in my head. They're usually cartoon characters.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember. You probably have never. This is a stupid question, but Alex might know. If Resident Evil, did you ever play that video game?
No.
Okay, well, there's a character in there called Mr. X, and he's this big, tall, huge, just a block of a dude, and he's a bad guy in this the video game, but he's, like, dark and wears dark clothing, and he's just very, like, he's scary. He's a scary, strong dude, so that's just who I
Yeah, I mean, Terrible's supposed to be a scary, strong, like, enforcer type for Bond.
Like a bodyguard type of,
like, beats up who he needs to beat up and make sure Bump's business is running as it needs to.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't know who that is, so I can't say whether or not that's accurate. But, yeah, so, and she, like, saves his ass a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He does help her and saves her because most of the time she's winning magically. Like, she does what she needs to do magically, but she physically can't get out of things.
Right.
Like, I think it's because she is a little bit weak drug. Right. She doesn't eat ever.
Right.
So there's no way she has any strength. She doesn't eat or sleep for the whole book. It's like weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you would be a mess. Mm-hmm. So he physically, a lot of the time, needs to pick her up and, like, haul her out.
Yeah.
But other than that, she is constantly saving him when ghosts attack and, like, you know, magic
She's
happens.
She's doing the supernatural stuff to save him.
I really like Terrible.
I like Terrible, too.
I was really fucking attracted to Terrible. He's just, he's very silent. He doesn't talk much. Yes. He's pretty, like, minimal talker and just secretly really smart. Like, he has all this weird knowledge about World War One that comes into play for the book. Because
the pilots
No one seems to know much about the world before the ghosts.
Yeah, this almost,
like, they've, like, undone most of the history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they didn't really specify how many people died when that week happened, but it seems like a lot. A lot of people must have died because it's, like, all of the I think most of the characters in our book are in the, like, mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. So they were barely born when the ghost week happened. And so they don't remember it. And it doesn't seem like anybody was alive to tell them what life was like before.
Right.
Because they have, like, no idea.
Post-apocalyptic, but not everybody vanished type of thing. And they had all these really young people growing the world again without any knowledge of what it was before.
And then I guess some old church people or something. I don't know.
Well, it's just like a new cycle starting all over again. Yeah, except this time they don't believe in God. We believe
in ghosts.
This
time you believe in ghosts and magic.
So, right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so he's, I mean, he like is full of surprises with all of that. Like, no one thinks he's smart. No one thinks, you know,
because he's just a big big dude.
And
muscular.
Silent.
Yeah.
He's big and silent. So everyone, and he beats up people for a living. So everyone just assumes they know what that means. And as the book unfolds, you find out that, no, there's a lot more to him than that. And yeah, he sounds real hot.
And he is interested in chess.
Yeah. But nothing happens.
You okay over there?
I'm really upset. I wanted them to have sex. I wanted to read that.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I know. I was like, oh, this is good. And then, but then I was like, oh, I remember she's, you know, all fucked up on whatever drugs she was
An idiot.
Some pills that she stole from a dead body.
Yeah, she found some pills in the pocket of a corpse, and she's like, these are rare. No one has these. And she took them.
Expensive they are.
And I was like, oh, don't.
That seems bad.
You don't know anything about that.
I don't even know. Did she end up banishing the ghost from the airport?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't catch
it. So it turned out that the nightmare, the dream thief. Sorry. I just want to call him the nightmare. Because I think that was in some other book at some point. There was a nightmare. Anyway. The dream thief was really a collection, like, pieces of the ghost from the airport. So the airport during World War One was, like, a pilot testing ground. And they tested out different psychological torture on the pilots. So they, like, kept them awake. They gave them weird drugs. It's almost like the 70s LSD MK Ultra experiments. But this would have been in the 20s, or actually in the teens.
Yeah, okay.
So the pilots all went batshit crazy and burned the airport to the ground.
Right.
And died. So they were insane ghosts, and insane ghosts apparently fracture. So when the bad people did their ritual out at the airport and constructed the dream thief, they did it out of pieces of the ghost without realizing. I don't think it was their intent.
Right.
So she figured out when she was trying to banish him that he was pieces of all these other ghosts who were hanging around the airport.
Okay.
And so then she used earth magic and called the spirits and rose them. So more of that, she rose the pilot ghosts and they attacked their piece and brought their pieces back into them. Mm-hmm. So they attacked him and reincorporated him into their ghostliness. Mm-hmm. I'm just making shit up now. And then she dispelled the earth magic, which sucked all of them back down into the earth.
Got it.
And destroyed the airport.
Okay.
She kind of did what Bump wanted her to do, which was mm-hmm. banish the ghosts. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, she destroyed the airport.
Right.
So now it's not usable. So that means that Lex is still happy with her.
Yeah.
And there's not ghosts running around. And the dream thief is gone. So she, like...
She satisfied everybody.
Satisfied all nobody. Need things and nobody. Everyone's like, yay and yay. But the church was real happy with her and, like, gave her a promotion and more money.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So, and, yeah, I mean, you guys didn't need all of that.
We didn't, but... So, for those of you who are actually waiting for the sexy part of this book, it only happened once, and it was real short.
It was. There's some good sexual tension between her and Terrible. Mm-hmm. They have a nice kissing scene. Like, she's high on shit, and so she says dumb shit, and you get mad at her.
Yeah.
But there's other, like, moments where he's, like, takes his shirt off, and she's staring at him, mm-hmm. and she's, you know, attracted to him. And then there's some good kisses with Lex that precede the sex. She ends up having sex with Lex. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, oh, he's perfect. I can, you know, do this and then never see him again or whatever. She's into, like, one night stands. She doesn't want a relationship. She's fucked up. Again, mm-hmm. she's a fucked up person. She has a lot of baggage and problems. So she's over at his house.
There was some deal had gone down between them. And so he's like, so what do I get for it? And she's like, well, what do you want? And he's like, well, I think you know what I want. And so she's like, okay. Because he saves her from something where she has to, like, take a shower. His sister undresses her and puts her in clothes.
She was high. Or something. She was super high. It was the night.
That was it?
Yeah. Oh. It was the night she was on those drugs she stole from the corpse.
That's right.
And she got into the, like, she made out with Terrible, was gonna go home with him, but then said a bunch of stupid shit, and he said, never mind,
right.
Let me put you in a car, or, like, let me take you to my friend's house so you can sleep it off. She said, no, I'm gonna call Doyle to give me a ride to Lex's house. So she, like, manipulated all three men in her life in one night, and then...
That was the night that Doyle slapped her.
Doyle punched her.
Punched her.
She slapped Doyle, which he deserved a slap.
Totally.
Because he was mouthing off. Actually, don't slap people. You don't ever. It's still abuse.
It's not a nice thing.
It's not abuse. Yeah, it's not. But then he punched her and broke her nose.
Yeah.
And gave her a black eye, which is really abuse. So don't do that either.
That part of the book, if you listen or read it, it literally hits you hard. Like, I did not expect that to happen at all.
No.
And it was just like, bam.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, ooh. I actually took a breath in when I listened to that part of the book. I was like, ooh. I mean, you know, it's part of the book. There's some rough... People are living rough lives at this moment in time.
It's actually...
But it was hard to listen to.
It was hard to listen to, but it actually goes along with, like, the rest of her life. Because she's almost killed multiple times in this book. And everyone around her is really a dick. And she's doing drugs and walking the street. And bad things happen to you.
Yeah.
And so, she gets punched in the eye. And the nose, or somehow both of them. I don't know. He has a big fist, I guess.
Yeah.
But she gets, you know, he's immediately apologetic. That doesn't make it right.
No,
but he's not... It's not like that was his goal either. It's not like he set out to punch her. He just did.
It was
and
like
then
instinct.
And then he was whiny for the rest of the book about how sorry he was. So whatever.
He was annoying from the beginning.
He really was.
He never got any better.
No, he didn't. So then she goes off to Lex's, but she's just so fucking high that no one understands her. So he has his sister, like, put her to bed because she obviously needs to sleep the shit off. That's what happens when you take corpse drugs.
Yeah. Stop taking corpse drugs.
You get so high no one can understand you. So then she wakes up in the morning and showers because she's like, oh, I'm gross. High and gross. And well, she's gross the whole... I don't think she changes clothes the whole book. And she's constantly getting covered in, like, sewer shit and, like...
It just seems real. Yeah. She's just...
Dead bodies are everywhere.
Yes.
Ghosts are everywhere. It's just gross. But anyway, so after her shower, she has sex with Lex while she waits for her clothes to be laundered. Because, you know, what else are you going to do while you wait for your clothes to be laundered?
And they've had sexual tension since the first time they met. And
yeah,
this was actually the first book we came across where they actually used a condom.
You guys... There are birth control methods.
Smart. Thank you, Stacia Kane.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. It wasn't like blunt and like hit you in the head. I actually missed it the first time around. It's just like they're getting it on. They're starting to.
They were like making out.
Making out, and he.
She was touching her down there.
And
yeah. And then.
Then he turns around and she hears Foil. And then they have sex, and I thought that he was doing drugs.
Either drugs or a Snickers bar. Whichever one is happening.
If you watch too much Archer, then you know it's a Snickers bar. And that's how you get a prostitute pregnant. I love that show. But I know I love that show so much. But yeah, I don't, because I think because of how much drugs were in this book, I just assumed that he was getting ready to do, like, I don't know, whatever drug it is that you cook on foil. I don't know, drugs. Crack. Let's say crack.
Let's call it crack. I'm trying to rack my brain for that, too.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. No, that's what I assumed was about to happen, and so I immediately just got mad, because I was like, don't give her any more drugs. She was fucked up all night. Just let her fucking be.
That's so funny.
And then drugs didn't happen. And I was like, what the fuck was that foil thing about? And I went back and I listened to it again. I was like, oh, he put on a condom. Shit, that doesn't happen in these books.
No, you weren't expecting it. Mm-mm. I think it's funny that your mind automatically went to drugs.
Drugs.
And I was just like, whoa, I haven't heard of a condom in a long ass time. This is awesome.
So... I like that, especially considering their lifestyles.
Yeah, bully for you. That was fucking awesome.
Considering, how just rough life is in this world. Like, you take all those precautions.
Yeah.
You know.
That and, I mean, a lot of our other books that we've read, they're setting it up for a lifelong partnership. So,
yeah. These are fated matches destined for all of time.
That immediately get pregnant after they fuck for the first time. That's just...
Half of them.
What is happening, yeah.
Even the one where she had an IUD, she got pregnant immediately.
Super sperm. I remember just that
fucking
one.
Stupid shit.
But no, that was good. That's good. So, you know, people, stay safe. Condoms aren't a bad thing. I love that shot glass. That is so cute. Is that part of your Mikasa set?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a whole set of them.
I like him. Oh, sorry. Clean his tingy shots of
whiskey.
Aged whiskey.
It's rough. What happens when you have, like, two liquor items in the house, aged whiskey or triple sec, and you go, I feel like drinking straight triple sec is not the road I'm going to go down tonight.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't. Good thing we're in your house.
Yeah.
And we're good to go.
Anyway, so, yes, that was that.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty, like, guys, yeah. One thing that did come up in this book, and we're going to tie it into our kiss and tell, because it really doesn't come up in the books, it's not mentioned very much, is periods, menstrual blood. Mm-hmm. So because this is magic, even in our actual world, like back to the days of Aleister Crowley when he was setting up his black magic church system, mm-hmm. court, whatever, I'm not well versed in that, but... Menstrual blood is a powerful source of in witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It's a source of power. It has a lot of uses.
Yeah, it is, bitches.
Yes, because it's so closely tied to, you know, fertility and renewal and birth.
Reproduction.
So,
new life.
Yeah, so it's very important. It's very magical. So all of the women of the church have to collect their menstrual blood and share it with the church because they use it in spells and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a hilarious little
addendum. Like, wow.
Obviously, like, menstrual cup. And then, instead of into the toilet, into some kind of container.
Okay. I just, okay.
Yeah. They must not be using tampons or pads. They must use menstrual cups. Okay. And then just
sit on a bucket.
Tupperware. For a week and just... Or they probably sit on buckets for a week because that seems.
You're in confinement for a week.
Oh, sit on the menstrual bucket. We need all your blood. Now, oh, God, that's horrible.
The menstrual bucket. That's
disgusting. I'm really upset by this.
I'm sorry. Brought
that up. But anyway, so she uses it in spells. It's part of, you know, so they discuss it in the book. They don't, it doesn't come up too much. But no, at least it, I mean, hey, women have periods and it fucking comes up in this book in a way that it doesn't come up in other books.
Right. It's just, it's life. It's what it is.
So we thought for our kiss and tell, we discuss period sex.
Period sex. Which we can tie in real quick our fun fuck fact.
Fun fuck fact.
Which is about menstrual cycles and periods and shit. But real quick, from factretriever.com, approximately 70% of men refuse to have sex during their girlfriend's period. And we would like to address that right now.
That's some bullshit.
Bullshit. Do not shun us for something that is natural and something we cannot... It is just
biological fact.
You were made out of period blood. That's just what I'm going to say right now. I know it's gross. I know you're squirming in your seat right now. But that's what you get. It's just natural. It's what happens. Yeah. It's what happens.
It's just part of life. It's part of biology. It's part of women's bodies.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be gross. We don't talk about it enough to make it more normalized. And we need to get there. Like because sex. Men shouldn't be squeamish about it. Right. Women shouldn't be either. Right. I shouldn't go to buy go to buy tampons and like look for the female checker so I can go through her line. Because I don't even want to deal with going through a male checker line.
Right.
Or just go to the self-checkout line always. Because Lord knows that that's just not something I want to talk about or discuss.
Right.
Whereas I shouldn't give a fuck.
Right.
Because it's 50% of the population deals with this shit, and it happens monthly.
Yes.
This is not occasionally, it's fucking monthly, people.
Not by choice.
So, 70% of men refusing to have sex on a period is, that's too high a number.
Seems like a lot.
I really hope their number's skewed somehow. I'm wondering if, like, it didn't specify country or world population.
Like, it didn't say, like, where the statistics came
from. I feel like if you factor in a lot of the world, then you're going to get that higher percentage, because there's whole countries where women are banished for the week, you know, during
the
their period.
There, yeah.
That they have to, like, sleep separately, eat separately, they can't touch any of the holy relics of the house, they're dirty, and so they have to be segregated. So obviously, in those countries, men are not having sex with women on their periods.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that skews the number.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if we were to just poll, you know, men in America, that maybe we'd get a slightly smaller number. Maybe not. But I think we need to address this, ladies and men.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, I think, even if you don't want to have sex during your period.
Your
period. That's a choice, right? But still, you shouldn't, one, make your girlfriend feel bad about it. And two, I mean, our hormones are all fucking whacked around our periods. There is a reason why they call it PMS. A lot of women are horny before, after, and during their periods, like right around that time. So if we want satisfaction, give it to us or else.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, obviously, if you just refuse, like, you know, if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Right.
But I think really thinking about why, like, and why you think of it as gross and, like, trying to push past that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't mean that you're going to change all men's minds, but the knee-jerk reaction, hell, most men, like, if they just see a clean, wrapped tampon get grossed out, and I'm like, that is a piece of plastic wrapped up in some, you know, plastic.
And more plastic.
And some tissue inside. Or, it's cotton in plastic and in plastic. It's not gross. In and of itself, it is not gross.
It hasn't touched a pussy yet. Don't worry about
it. It's not covered in blood.
Nothing.
It's clean. Like, so you can't be grossed out by a piece of plastic. Wait until it's actually gross. But even so, saying that, I don't think having sex on your period is gross.
It's
messy. But not gross.
It's definitely messy. It's very, very messy. That is probably the time that I would more likely have the shower sex that I really hate having. Because it's easy cleanup. Mm-hmm. You know? You don't want to get your sheets, you know, dirty and stuff like that. Because blood really is hard to get out as well. So, yes. You know, that's when you go and you do the shower sex thing. So, sure. But it shouldn't make your girlfriends feel bad about it. Really, I think more than... I don't know. I feel like it's just more of a self-esteem thing. Don't make them feel like they're...
Generally, I already feel pretty shitty because I'm bloated and crampy.
Exactly.
So the last thing I need to think about is how you don't like me anymore because I'm on my period.
Yeah.
So, if I'm feeling a little hoardy...
Right.
I really... Yeah.
And how many men's fantasy is it to have a virgin? Most of the time you're going to bleed when you have sex the first time.
Yeah, that's a terrible fantasy.
You know what I mean? It's a terrible fantasy, but it is a fantasy.
Yeah, so...
You know what I mean?
And if you don't mind that blood, why would you mind other blood?
It's the same blood. So, yeah, well...
I mean, it's different
not blood. The same blood, but it's still bloody. And, I mean, in my case, it was very bloody. So it was almost like I was having sex on my period, so...
So, have you had sex on your period?
Yes.
Yes.
I have. And I would, like I said, prefer to do it in the shower, not like I haven't. And it's always, like, it's really interesting because I don't have regular periods at all. By any means, I don't have any regular periods. It's really funny because it'll be, like, 2 months where I haven't had my period. And then Dan and I will have sex and I'll just be, like, really, really, really horny. And then a day later, bam, I'll have my period. And I'm like, you know, all I gotta do is get boned by you and then I'll have my period. You know? But, you know, it's that time where your hormones are like, I'm, like, real horny during this time or that time or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
It's just what happens is what the body chemistry is doing when you're...
Yeah. I'm horny the day or two before my period.
Yeah. So it helps with that. And I'm sure it helps Dan too. But actually, during the period, yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. It's really, the only difference is that it's just messy.
It's really just messier. There are studies that it helps cramps.
I believe that.
Because of the endorphins or whatever, mm-hmm. like, that your brain is releasing. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, and I have horrible fucking cramps. Yeah, so if I don't feel miserable and, mm-hmm. like, I just want to lie down on the floor.
Yeah.
I've had sex on many different, like, places in my period. I don't like it at my heaviest flow days.
Well, sure.
It is way, way, way messy.
That is, too.
That's when you have to have a towel. like, this towel's done for the day, guys.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when I, like, really recommend the shower thing.
And then it looks like a massacre, and I'm like, I regret this, guys.
And some people might resort to anal sex, which is, if that's mm-hmm. what they prefer and they can do it, then great. That works, too. I mm-hmm. think a lot of people probably do that. So, you know, if that works, that works. But we just got to get over that.
Yeah.
And not make it such a taboo or... Yeah. Not a taboo.
No, taboo's right. Okay. It shouldn't be a taboo. It shouldn't be something that... Yeah. You should at least be able to broach the topic with mm-hmm. your partner and be like, this is something... I'm real horny right now. I'd like to have sex, but it will be messy. Let's just plan for that in advance.
Let's just do that. Yeah. Yeah. Or don't get jealous when I break out my toy in the middle of the night while you're sleeping.
Yeah, there's also that. I'm horny, so I'm gonna fix this one way or the other. You could be a part of it or not. Your choice. Because toys are real cleanable, so.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
Well,
I think that's all we have for this book.
Yeah, this one is,
It's probably time to rate it. What's our dirty pleasure rating?
Our dirty...
Dirty pleasure rating. I actually... As much as I struggled with different facets of this book, I appreciated the difference. I appreciated how Chess was not a stereotypical heroine.
This was
heroine.
Not a cookie cutter book.
Nope. I was frustrated with, like, just the one sex scene, which was fine. I really wanted her to sleep with Terrible. I really think that would have been a good move. And I think that they're going to get there. They're obviously,
yes,
like...
it's leading up to
She really
sure.
does like him, and she's trying to find a way to keep him in her life, despite the fact that mm-hmm. this mission is over. So I think there's going to be something about that going forward. But I liked it. And it just... I don't... I don't know what happened. I don't understand the plot. But I still, like, really liked her, and I liked this weird world that got set up that I don't understand. I can't speak their vernacular, and I don't get it, but I liked everything about that, and I was frustrated, but somehow being frustrated was, like, made me appreciate the book more, and so I think I'm still gonna give it, like, a 7.
Wow.
Which is the same rating I give everything. Oh, jeez. So, yay. High potential 7, because I think there's,
yeah,
it's there, and I, yeah, really, it's just, I've never,
it's completely different,
completely different, like, reading. We other books have ghosts, but this is like a whole new world of ghosts. Mm-hmm. Like
the thought process behind it, like what she's building here is good.
Yeah,
and the,
fascinating
with the, how she's making the ghosts and the church and all of that and all these people. So yeah. I think the story was okay, and the reason why I say that was just because I had a harder time following this. Mm-hmm. One, while I don't hate this book, I don't think that there's much that I hate about this book. I just had a hard time following it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the language in it was a little, the vernacular, like you, mm-hmm, said, was a little bit hard to follow. Obviously there was only one sex scene, but it was eh, but the tension between her and Terrible were, mm-hmm, good. Even the tension between her and Lex were good.
Yeah, like he kept kissing her and, yeah, making her all weak-kneed, and she was like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's good. And I want to make this very clear with the number that I'm going to give it, because I think I gave this number to the other book that I hated, that we hated, Dark Lover.
Or Dark Fever.
Dark Fever. I don't think Dark Lover is a book we've
read. No, it is a book we've read.
Dark something. Dark Fever with Mackenzie, with Mac.
Yeah, yeah,
I think,
yeah,
I gave that one like a 5. I do like
this. I feel book. Like we gave that book like a 2.
Maybe we did. Maybe it was a 3.
We may have been harder on that book than we remember.
That is true. But anyway, I'm going to give this one like a 5.9. Like a 6.
Okay.
Almost.
Hey.
I think that it's going to build into something more, especially between her and Terrible, which is going to be great.
I just really, I'm going to follow these books because all I want is a sex scene with Terrible. So I don't give a fuck how long I have to read till I find it.
That's great. I think that's going to be awesome. He's a very likable character.
Fuck, I was like where's too. My Terrible? I need a Terrible in my life.
Do you need a Terrible?
Oof.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with that.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up Unholy Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And then next, we're actually going to do something different.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting.
So our next book is, we're going to read A Demon and His Witch, and also A Demon and His Psycho, which is books 1 and 2 in the Welcome to Hell series by Eve Longley and narrated by Mindy Kennedy. And the reason we're going to read 2 in a row and discuss together is we're doing the audiobooks again, and they're only 5 hours long.
Yeah.
Which is super short. I don't have many audiobooks that length. No. Our average is like 12 to 13 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we were afraid that if we only did one book, we'd be like, oh, well, it's half a podcast.
Pretty much.
Maybe not. Maybe we'd still have a whole podcast to talk. Yeah. But let's see. This, and also, we've never once read books 1 and 2 together and discussed them.
That's true.
We did, in the very beginning, we did the first 2 books of The Lords of the Underworld, but we read them separately as 2 different podcasts. 2
different episodes, yeah.
So this might be interesting to, like, read and see how the story develops within 2 books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's more to this series. I think there was, like, 5 books, but we're only going to do 2. We're not getting crazy.
I have a feeling this one is going to be pretty raunchy. I have a slight tingling in my seat that it's going to be.
I'm hoping so. I want some fucking dirty books.
Yes.
So, interestingly enough, I don't know. Side note, guys. Anyone who's an Audible listener will know that they maybe, well, when you guys are listening to it, it's like a year ago. But recently in our world, like this year, they introduced their romance package, where for a flat monthly fee, you can listen to any of the books they have in their romance package. You don't actually own them. You don't, mm-hmm, download and own them. You just get to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of buying books and accumulating a large stockpile, you just have access to like hundreds of romance books to listen to for a fee. Well, we took part in it for the first couple of months because I was like, this is going to be really good for us. Mm-hmm. And we struggled to find books we wanted to read. There didn't seem to be enough of our paranormal romances in the package.
Yeah.
Like everyone we looked up wasn't in the package. It wasn't included in the romance package. It was outside of it. So I eventually, like, we quit being a part of it. I was like, I'll just buy books. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But one thing that is very neat is they created a scale. They have a
hot, dirty scale? No, sexy, what was it?
A pleasure scale? No, we call ours our dirty pleasure rating. I don't remember what they call it. But anyway, on Audible, you can see a little
sexy rating.
Like a rating, like how hot this book is, like how steamy the book is. And it goes from like, you know, I don't remember down at the end, but like the middle is like sizzling to, you know, steamy to, I don't remember all of them. But anyway, the little chart tells you how sexy this book is supposed to be. And what we just read, Unholy Ghost, was on the romance package. And it was towards the lower end. Mm-hmm. And this book is towards the higher end. So obviously, I agree with you. You're correct. That was a long-winded way of saying, yes, this book's going to be sexier. It's gonna be a little dirty.
That's all right.
And also a side note, Audible, you should sponsor us.
I was thinking maybe we should tag them in some of our Facebook posts and be like, you can get this book on audio. Hashtag audiobooks.
Yeah. Right. So join us next week for episode. For A Demon and His Witch, A Demon and His Psycho by Eve Longley.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for joining us. If you want to reach out, we're available on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at ShDirtyBooks with 3 H's. Or you can write to us at ShDirtyBooks@gmail.com.
And you can find us at ShDirtyBooks.com, SoundCloud, iTunes,
Google Play.
Anywhere
you download music.
Yep, get your audio books.
Podcast.
No, not audio books. Oh my god, now we just gotta go. Our podcast. And a quick shout out to Jim Townsend. Thank you for our intro and our outro. Beautiful, beautiful music.
Yes.
And we
are done. Well, good night.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode with some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.